The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 11:43 p.m., December 28th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
K-Voice of Resistance!
Facts, evidence, reason, logic, an understanding of science. These are good things. These are qualities you want in people making policy. Black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American, young, old, gay, straight, men, women, folks with disabilities, all pledging allegiance under the same proud flag to this big, bold country that we love. That's what I see. That's the America I know.
Grab him by the pussy.
Hello. Thank you for listening to K, Voice of Resistance. I'm your host, Kelly, also known as Kelly the Voice. Do you live in a red or even a purple state? I want to demonstrate what is possible in a blue state with progressives working to make laws to better the lives of people in that state. Here are some of the new laws in California that will be enacted as of January 1st. Guns. Proving that gun control is possible on the local level, even when the country refuses to act. Local officials can now make illegal the idiotic open carry of unloaded shotguns and rifles in urban unincorporated areas. These are places not covered in the existing ban on carrying handguns in public places. Starting July 1st, Californians who assemble their own gun, a process one police chief said is easier than putting together IKEA furniture, must first get a serial number from the State Department of Justice. Californians convicted of crimes that will require them to get rid of their firearms must now prove that they have done so before their court cases can be closed, a mandate approved by voters in a 2016 ballot measure. Additional punishment can be imposed on those that do not comply.
Crime and punishment.
No juvenile offenders have to serve life without parole, and those already behind bars would become eligible for release after 25 years. This is part of a series of easing punishment and fines for young people. Counties can no longer charge fees to family members for everything from detention to monitoring of juveniles, a policy that hit low-income families and communities of color the hardest. This one's great. Law enforcement agencies must gather information on sexual assault evidence that hasn't been tested, also known as a rape kit, and explain to state officials why the hell nothing's been done. Californians with HIV can no longer be charged with felony for exposing a partner to the disease, a distinction it used to have from all other communicable diseases.
Animal cruelty?
Using a bull hook to handle or control elephants will be against the law in California. Why isn't this against the law already?
General awesomeness.
California schools can no longer deny lunch to a child whose parents haven't paid their meal fees. Schools in low-income communities must provide free tampons and sanitary products to students in grades 6 through 12. Sticking it to Donald on immigration. Local law enforcement officials across California have new strict limits on how they can help federal immigration authorities, a law that pushes back against Donald's policies on illegal immigration. Na 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 boo boo, stick your head in doo doo. A landlord can face civil penalties for threatening to report a renter to federal immigration authorities. It now takes a warrant from a judge for federal agents to come into someone's workplace on an immigration raid, and employers can be fined for not giving workers a 72-hour notice that those agents will be inspecting employee records. State agencies that provide help to juveniles on the developmentally disabled no longer have to report immigration violations to the federal government.
Voting.
Voters in five counties will find their neighborhood polling places closed and ballots sent to them by mail, the first phase of the shift to the use of vote centers across California. This landmark law will provide voters more options for when, where, and how they cast a ballot, and ideally increase voting. This is especially good for low-income citizens who cannot afford to take the day off work. Following reports of too little help at polling places in 2016, for California voters who speak limited English, more sample ballots in other languages will be available. Haha. Suck it, Republicans. Big donors to state ballot measure campaigns will have to be better identified on political advertisements in 2018.
The workplace.
California's lowest paid workers are getting a raise. As of the 2016 law to phase in, the minimum wage increase has raised that pay to $11 an hour for most businesses. Workers at the smallest companies will see their minimum wages raised to $10.50 an hour. New parents at small businesses of at least 20 employees will be able to take up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave to care for a child and won't lose their health coverage while away. California's equal pay law has been expanded to government jobs in an effort to remove any gender-biased pay rates. Equality. Beginning in September, Californians can choose gender-neutral option on their driver's license for those who are transgender, intersex, or don't identify as male or female. More parents taking high school equivalency or English language courses are now eligible for subsidized child care. Some California cities will now allow sales of marijuana for all uses, the first retail transactions since voters fully legalized the pot in November 2016. More buildings, from theaters and restaurants to government office, must provide diaper changing stations in restrooms for men. Woohoo! Equality. And dinosaur! California's first vegetarian gets a formal title, Augustinolathius Morrissey. I'm sure totally said that right. It's a plant eater whose fossils have only been found in the Golden State. It is now the official state dinosaur. That has nothing to do with a red or blue state, but it makes me smile. This is only a handful of the kind of laws that the rest of the country could have as long as people like us show up to vote.
Vote!
So let's do it. Let's turn this country blue. We have good news.
This isn't about a cake. This has never been about a cake. And this isn't about weddings. It has never been about weddings.
The Oregon Court of Appeals on Thursday upheld a $135,000 fine against two Christian bakers who refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. This is a victory. Of course, in the Supreme Court still is the Colorado bigot Christian throwbacks who are so wronged because they were told they cannot discriminate against a gay couple. We will have to wait and see how our conservative Supreme Court treats what should be a clear civil rights violation. In science and environmental news, China is getting it done, man. In China, construction has begun on the country's first solar highway, which may be able to charge solar cars. So solar panels are placed underneath transparent concrete, which shields an array of solar panels in two sizes. Beneath the solar panels is a layer that will keep them isolated from the damp ground. The road itself has already been completed, and now it is only a matter of connecting the grid, which is expected to be finished by the end of the year. And this isn't the first solar road China has worked on. Earlier this year, the Kuilu Transportation Development Group, which is also handling the Jinan Expressway solar road, built a 160-meter, it's a 0.09-mile long, solar road in the city of Jinan itself. It's capable of heating up to keep the highway clear of snow and ice, and may one day be able to wirelessly charge electric vehicles. The new solar highway is expected to one day be equipped with the same features. Futurism reports that outside of China, solar roads are nothing new. In 2014, the Netherlands built a bike path fitted with solar panels to generate electricity. A village in the north of France opened a 0.62-mile-long solar road in 2016. And in the U.S., the Missouri Department of Transportation agreed to begin testing solar sidewalks near Route 66. Of course, solar highways have their negative Nancys. They are susceptible to being covered by dirt and other debris. But as their efficiency and applications improved, they're totally going to prove how awesome they are. And with electric vehicles becoming more popular, the world's going to need more ways to keep their vehicles charged and ready to go. If we can take back our government, maybe we can start a cool project such as this. I mean, besides the agreement in Missouri, of all places. Maybe our government can, on a large scale, take on a cool project such as this. Maybe. Or maybe we should just set our sights a bit lower and be happy if we fix a crumbling bridge or two. In less fun news, regulations are protections. Regulations are protections. Say it with me. Regulations are
protections.
Good job. In this case, they're protections for birds. Since 1918, the federal government has protected migratory birds via the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, the MBTA. The Obama administration used the MBTA as a tool to go after energy producers whose installations contributed to migratory bird deaths. Donald's administration quietly rescinded the policy, stating that they will no longer prosecute oil and gas, wind, and solar operators that accidentally kill birds. The Post writes, quote, "Hundreds of thousands of birds probably die each year when they become caught in wind turbine blades. Oil waste pits kill between 500,000 and 1,000,000 birds each year, according to Audubon, while power lines cause the death of up to 175 million birds per year," unquote. Assholes. And while we are talking about protective regulations, chances are the majority of us will end our days in a nursing home, just as most of us know someone now, or have known someone, or will know someone in one of these homes. These rich Republicans will have private care, rich people's care, whatever that is. They don't care about us, the sick, or the elderly. New York Times reports that, quote, "The Trump administration is scaling back the use of fines against nursing homes that harm residents, placing them at risk of grave injury."
Excuse me, what?
Part of a broader relaxation of regulations under the president. The shift in the Medicare program's penalty protocols was requested by the nursing home industry.
Of course it was.
The American Healthcare Association, the industry's main trade group, has complained that under President Barack Obama, federal inspectors focused excessively on catching wrongdoing rather than helping nursing homes improve. Unquote. This is amazing. Charlie Pierce of Esquire said, quote, "That last sentence is a real keeper, isn't it? If you keep punishing us for our substandard practices, we won't be able to improve our substandard practices. Punishment for breaking laws is a hindrance to our abiding by them. Thousands of criminal defense lawyers are wondering why they didn't think of that one first." Unquote.
Assholes.
Also, the Republican administration will now take its final step in the repeal of the Obama administration's 2015 rule, setting standards for hydraulic fracturing of federal land.
Fracking.
The Obama rule didn't even stop their precious fracking. It focused mainly on three areas: mandating that companies disclose the chemicals that they use to frack, requiring them to cover the surface ponds that housed fracking liquids, and setting standards for the construction of wells. That was it. But it's too much for the poor, beleaguered energy industry. Again, assholes.
Protection!
Sometimes it's the little things.
If there is a child on the south side of Chicago who can't read, that matters to me, even if it's not my child. If there's a senior citizen somewhere who can't pay for their prescription drugs, that makes my life poor, even if it's not my grandparents. If there's an Arab American family being rounded up without benefit of an attorney, threatens my civil liberties. It is that fundamental belief, I am my brother's keeper, I am my sister's keeper, that makes this country work. It's what allows us to pursue our individual dreams and yet still come together as one American family. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. In the end, that's what this election is about. Do we participate in a politics of cynicism, or do we participate in a politics of hope?
E pluribus unum, which means out of many, one. As evidence that our founding fathers intended our nation to be welcoming to immigrants of all different backgrounds.
Presidential coins.
These are challenge coins that presidents can give out to dignitaries, people from other countries, special guests that visit. And like everything the man on high does, he has designed his with the same modest class he does everything. In the past, these presidential coins were tacky and laughable, made of subdued silver or copper, and featured the Great Seal of the United States on one side, complete with 13 arrows representing the original states and the Latin phrase, E pluribus unum. The other side depicted the White House and the name of the president. Yet, our 45th president decided to dump the Great Seal of the United States. What did he replace it with? His own motto, of course. Make America great again.
No!
Which appears on both sides of the coin. And to that, on this two-sided coin, Donald's name appears not one, not two, but three times. That doesn't even include his signature featured right below the coin's bald eagle, which is no longer looking to its right as it does in the U.S. seal, but inexplicably to its left. All told, Donald's name appears twice on each side of the coin, while United States of America appears only once. Dean Obadala wrote this for CNN, quote, "But wait, there's more. The coin's bigger than former President Barack Obama's challenge coin, by a lot. Now, in Trump's defense, the coin had to be larger to fit his name four times and his slogan twice. Overall, the coin looks like the type of flashy souvenir that Trump would have sold in his casino gift shops. Assuming those casinos were still open. Muammar Gaddafi may have his gold gun, and Saddam Hussein boasted about a gold toilet paper dispenser, but Trump's flashy gold coin would make them and other dictators green with envy. Apparently, MAGA stands for Make America Gaudy Again. Of course, the coin could be worse. It could have featured an image of Trump on both sides, or maybe Trump on one side and Vladimir Putin on the other. The coin could also have included Trump's catchphrase, such as believe me, or lock her up, or his most famous, fake news. Perhaps Trump will unveil a whole set of these coins that will be sold in gift shops and Trump hotels, so he may profit from them just as he will be personally enriched by the tax cuts he signed into law Friday. Maybe Trump will use his coin to reward administration officials who praise him best at the next cabinet meeting. Although, Mike Pence's recent masterclass in sucking up will be a tough beat. The good news? The Republicans are on the hook here for the coins and will be paying their golden majesty." Unquote. You may have heard by now that an independent UN expert came to the good old US of A to assess the, poverty in the US. Well, there ain't no poverty in America now that Trump's president. MAGA!
Right.
Well, what he found was depressing. Unsurprising, but depressing. He went to Alabama, California, Georgia, Puerto Rico, West Virginia, and Washington, D.C., and was generally shocked by the level of poverty he found, saying, quote, "The American dream is rapidly becoming an American illusion, as the U.S. now has the lowest rate of social mobility of any of the rich countries," unquote. And now, this guy, Philip Elston, has weighed in on our shiny new tax policy. He said that the tax bill, quote, "is essentially a bid to make the U.S. the world champion of extreme inequality. The dramatic cuts in welfare foreshadowed by the president and the House Speaker Ryan, and already beginning to be implemented by the administration, will essentially shred crucial dimensions of safety net that is already full of holes. It is against this background that my report is presented," unquote. While noting that he saw much that is positive, Elston detailed everyday situations across the nation that indicate how residents' fundamental rights are trampled upon. Quote, I witnessed a San Francisco police officer telling a group of homeless people to move out, but having no answer when they asked where they could move to. I heard how thousands of poor people get minor infraction notices, which seem to be intentionally designed to quickly explode into unpayable debt, incarceration, and the replenishment of municipal coffers. I saw sewage filled by yards in states where governments don't consider sanitation facilities to be their responsibility. I saw people who had lost all of their teeth because adult dental care is not covered by the vast majority of programs available to the very poor. I heard about soaring death rates and family and community destruction wrought by prescription and other drug addiction, and I met with people in the south of Puerto Rico living next to a mountain of completely unprotected coal ash, which rains down on them, bringing illness, disability, and death. Unquote. He then listed the things that make, quote, American exceptionalism, unquote, an absurd boast. He noted, among other things, that, quote, U.S. inequality levels are far higher than those in most European countries. U.S. infant mortality rates in 2013 were the highest in the developed world. America has seen the highest incarceration rate in the world. In terms of access to water and sanitation, the U.S. ranks 36th in the world, unquote. The country, he said, is an international outlier in that it insists human rights, quote, do not include rights that guard against denying of hunger, denying of lack of access to affordable health care, or growing up in the context of total deprivation. Unquote. In addition to speaking with civil society groups, Elsted spoke with politicians and political appointees. Some of them, he said, clung to what he called caricatured narratives of who the wealthy and the poor are. Narratives that falsely portray the rich as industrious and the poor as lazy people who merely need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps in order to make it. Quote, I wonder how many of these politicians have ever visited poor areas, let alone spoken to those who dwell there. Unquote. And he didn't stop there. He highlighted the systemic obstacles of voting, whether through overt disenfranchisement, like barring felons from voting, or covert disenfranchisement, like gerrymandering and needless voter ID laws. Citing Census Bureau data, he said that more than one in every eight Americans, 40 million people, live in poverty. That is a population that has been demonized and, quote, is becoming a more deprived and destitute class, unquote. He even went so far to say that high figure appears to be by design. Quote, at the end of the day, particularly in a rich country like the USA, persistence of extreme poverty is a political choice made by those in power. With political will, it could readily be eliminated. Doing so requires democratic decision-making, full employment policies, social protection for the vulnerable, a fair and effective justice system, gender and racial equality, and respect for human dignity, responsible fiscal policies, and environmental justice. Currently, the United States falls short on each of these issues. Unquote. Happy holidays, everyone. But really, Happy New Year, everyone. Does everyone remember as 2016 was ending? Everyone was so happy to see the end of 2016. 2017 had to be better, right? And to be honest, the election year 2016 was unique, as we called it at the time, a dumpster fire. But was it worse this year? I mean, the year that saw the travel ban, Neil Stolenseit Gorsuch, Donald pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accords, Sean Spicer was replaced with Sarah Huckabee Sandtrap, Betsy DeVos, DeVos's repeal of Title IX protections, the repeal of net neutrality, the dramatic reduction of two great monuments, the I Hate Poor People, Welfare for the Rich tax bill, Justin Bieber is still a thing, the overhaul of our justice system to young right-wing Christo-fascist extremist judges, Elf on a Shelf, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, is the head of the DOJ. Donald moved our embassy to Jerusalem. Wild man Ben Carson has a job. Tom Petty died. Unprecedented storms ravaged much of the world. Puerto Rico is still suffering through a humanitarian crisis, and we have seen a dramatic increase in civilian casualties in air raids abroad under Donald. And wow, could I go on? There is a flip side to much of this, however, and in a way that 2016 didn't have. There is an activism that has stirred our country, a visceral connection to those who are activated and fighting for a better America, different from last year, where America was mostly fighting and bitching at each other. There was the Women's March, The Me Too movement, women of color, gay and transgender women have all won elections in Virginia. The mooch was funny for a moment. Tillerson called Donald a moron. The courts have stopped much of Donald's plans, and the resistance has not only stopped and slowed Donald's plans, but our Republican crap government's plans as well. Mueller is making Donald's life hell. Stephanie Shriok, the president of Emily's List, the largest national organization devoted to electing female candidates, said that 10 months before the election in 2016, about 1,000 women had contacted her organization about running for office and getting involved in other ways. Since the election, she said the number has exploded to more than 22,000. Wonder Woman happened. Obama and Hillary were named the most admired man and woman in the United States, a 10-year trend for Obama and a 16 years running for Hillary. We have seen a rise in Democratic participation like we have not seen since the protest over the Vietnam War. There was a long overdue diverse crop of winners at the Oscars and the Emmys. April, the giraffe had a baby calf, and Jimmy Kimmel's baby son is not only okay, but he inspired Jimmy to propel the fight to save healthcare and collectively, more or less, we did over and over and over again, 4 times. Fiona, the baby hippo, was born and is adorable. There was the total solar eclipse, which was incredible and brought tears to my eyes. Martin Shkreli went to jail. 6 of the J20 protesters were acquitted, and so much more. It was a tough year, and the next 3 will be tough as well. But so long as we keep on fighting for what is right collectively, we will continue to have wins, and we will add this to our list of good things. The resistance is as strong as ever and has not faded over the year, which was a real possibility and a great fear of mine, of most activists. We are in this for the long haul, and as long as we are in it together, this country will, and this coming year at least will, be okay. Thank you for sticking with me in this episode of K, Voice of Resistance. You can stream or download the show on crabdiving.com under the K Voice tab or on your favorite podcasting app. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice and on Facebook at K Voice of Resistance. If you want to filter your news through some funny progressives, check the Crab Diving Podcast with comedian Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile, also on the Crab Diving Network, of course. All right. Please be safe out there this New Year's Eve. Here's to a better 2018. Take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist!
Rivals like Russia or China cannot match our influence around the world unless we give up what we stand for and turn ourselves into just another big country that bullies smaller neighbors. Our democracy is threatened whenever we take it for granted. All of us, regardless of party, should be throwing ourselves into the task of rebuilding our democratic institutions. None of this happens on its own. When voting rates in America are some of the lowest among advanced democracies, we should be making it easier, not harder, to vote. America's no fragile thing, but the gains of our long journey to freedom, when Congress is dysfunctional, we should draw our congressional districts to encourage politicians to cater to common sense and not rigid extremes. But remember, none of this happens on its own. In his own farewell address, George Washington wrote that self-government is the underpinning of our safety, prosperity, and liberty. From different causes and from different quarters, much pains will be taken to weaken in your minds the conviction of this truth. We have to preserve this truth with jealous anxiety that we should reject the first dawning of every attempt to alienate any portion of our country from the rest or to enfeeble the sacred ties that make us one.